You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
It's just the normal noises in here.
This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
All right, hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Pet Shop Boys, actually.
Okay.
I think this is like 80s synth pop.
Yes, for the most part. I do believe so.
So this is their second album. But this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, with their second album, actually, the Pet Shop Boys perfected their melodic, detached dance pop. Where most of Please was dominated by the beats, the rhythms... on Actually are part of a series of intricate arrangements that create glamorous but disposable backdrop for Neil Tennant's tales of isolation, boredom, money, and loneliness. Not only are the arrangements more accomplished, but the songs themselves are more striking, incorporating a strong sense of melody, as evidenced by What Have I Done to Deserve This?, a duet with Dusty Springfield. Tennant's lyrics are clever and direct, chronicling the lives and times of urban, lonely, and bored yuppies of the late 80s. And the fact that dance pop is considered a disposable medium by most mainstream critics and listeners only increases the reserved emotional undercurrent of Actually, as well as its irony.
Interesting. Dusty Springfield is on there.
So the album was released on 7th of September 1987. The genres are synth pop, dance pop, and electro pop. Came out on Parlophone Records, and it was produced by Stephen Haig, David Jacob, Julian Mendelson, Pet Shop Boys, Shep Pettibone, and Andy Richards. And so the album, it's there's 10 songs on the album, and side one and side two are pretty evenly split, 5 and 5. So if you're listening along, which we encourage you to do, and we've linked the album in the show notes to both Spotify and Apple Music. So what you where the album starts with the song One More Chance, and side one ends with Hit Music. So if you want to pause there, we'll have a discussion halfway through. And here we go. Without further ado, okay, so here is the first song on the album, One More Chance. So here we go. Okay, and ending side one with Hit Music. Yeah, I'm as far like I don't know a whole lot about this sort of music, like dance and synth pop and stuff like that. But as far as that goes, like it's not that bad, really.
No, actually, I've been sort of enjoying this. First time I ever really heard them was on what was it, the Live Aid.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They played that, and I wasn't a huge fan of them at that time. And this one is actually surprising me. I like the songs better. So this has been 2 years after that.
This was 2 years after that. That would have been, I think that would have been around their first album. So I guess they were still pretty new at that time when they were playing Live Aid. So
obviously popular because, you know, they got invited to Live Aid after just one album. So,
And I think, I always like that song. I think it's from their first album, the song West End Girls. I always like that song. And this album here, I mean, it's, was that, that album that we did not that long ago, maybe a couple months ago, was, Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Right. Yeah.
And it's sort of similar. I think I kind of like this better.
Yeah, me too.
You know, this is more like they're using a rock song structure, but using electronic instruments.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they're really actually just good pop songs for the most part. And it's, I'm surprised how much I've been liking this. It's actually quite good. So.
Yeah, it really is. And I've come to appreciate 80s sort of production, and sort of I never was a big fan of it, but I've come to I've come to appreciate it in a way this sort of disposable pop stuff I could live without, but that's true of any era, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true. There's some pretty abysmal stuff from the 60s and 70s too, from, you know, the throwaway, you know, and some of the novelty songs. Oh my God, they are cringy.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yeah, they really are. It's just how it is. But this is more, I don't know. This is more serious.
Yeah, it's not too serious. Again, yeah. It straddles that line quite nicely where it's not that disposable. I mean, they were saying this is like a sort of a disposable pop. It's not. It's actually quite the songwriting is it's quite sophisticated for its genre.
Yeah. It really is. And a lot of the songs, I found a few facts about the album and I'll get into it, but a lot of the songs are like socially conscious. A lot of the songs are, you know, talking, you know, some of the song, like they're, this came out in the 80s, but they're, it's talking of it. Some of the things that they're talking about are still relevant, you know, almost 40 years later. So it's topical for its time, but it's all timeless at the same time. Like it's still relevant today, which is, it's really sort of, that's almost impossible to do. But I don't think they were really thinking that at the time. I think they were thinking,
well, they're trying to be of their time, but a lot of things have not been fixed since then, which is part of the problem.
Well, yeah, exactly. So exactly.
The problems, you know, if they stay the same, if not exacerbated.
Exactly. I mean, this is the era of like Ronald Reagan and, well, they're in the UK, so this would have been Margaret Thatcher, which sort of two sides of the same coin, to be honest.
Really?
But the critical reception at the time, I mean, this is their second album. It did really well, both commercially and critically. It says, actually, it was generally well received by critics at the time of its release. Chris White of Music Week said, actually was, well, well worth the wait, with the duo coming up with another highly original and distinctive sounding album. and called it a great pop album, which will deservedly be one of the year's biggest sellers. In December 1987, Robert Crisco of the Village Voice praised it as actual pop music with something actual to say, pure commodity and proud of it. In his retrospective review, Thomas of AllMusic.com said, actually, is the album where the Pet Shop Boys perfected their melodic detached dance pop. I agree with that. And it was also, this is their biggest selling album that they did. I mean, they had a big career later into the 90s. And I think they're still around, to be honest. This album went triple platinum and sold 3 million copies. So it was a pretty big album at the time. It was it ended up at number 3 on the Billboard charts, just behind Michael Jackson's Bad album. So, I mean, this was a huge album for like the
era, for
the
sure.
era, yeah. The month that it was released, yeah.
No, honestly, I'm finding like parallels with like bands like it's almost new wave in some ways.
It is. It's sort of like it's sort
a little
of
more
like
industrial. It's almost like Depeche Mode, actually.
It's sort of taking influence from Depeche Mode. Well, Depeche Mode's really early stuff was more new wave ish. But yeah, this is sort of like punk sensibility with like shiny dance in a shiny dance shell, like it's like sort of that rebellious spirit with sort of the dance facade, I guess.
Yes, it's surprisingly palatable even to like a hardcore rock guy like me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So like I know we sort of always ask this question, and I think it's interesting. It sparks an interesting discussion. So if this album were to be if it were to come out today, would it do anything,
being very, you know, having that sort of 1980s retro thing going for it, I think it would probably do pretty well.
Yeah, I do too. Because a few years ago, I think The Weeknd put out a song that was basically, I think it's called Blinding Light or Blinded by the Light or something like that. Is very like it sounded like it came out of the 80s, basically. So I do. I think this album, or at least a few of the songs on it, would be hits. I think you know, the one that they did with Dusty Springfield, What Have I Done to Deserve This? That would be a huge radio song now.
Well, I think it was a bit of a hit there, but I honestly would probably pick One More Chance. I thought that was like a really good pick, and it doesn't look like it was the hit of the album there, but that was a really good song, and that song might have been my pick to be a hit.
Yeah, I can honestly see that as well. I mean, like a lot of these songs, I think would probably do well today. So I did manage to find a few interesting facts about the album. So it's kind of funny. The song "Shopping" was not released as a single, but it is frequently featured as background music in British television news and current affairs programs dealing with retail business issues and as bumper music on home shopping shows. This is despite the fact that the song is actually a critique of privatization in the 1980s.
Of course. No, that's par for the course. That's just, things like that always happen. Like, a parody or a song critiquing something by almost becoming a parody of it becomes, you know, sort of an anthem for the very thing it's parodying. It happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I think of, while Ronald Reagan using Born in the USA for
of course.
His campaign song. It's like, dude, that's
you gotta listen to the lyrics.
That song is about treating Vietnam vets like you were not giving them the support that they needed at the time. That and you're like that's it's not. This song is I was born in the USA. I should be treated better than this. It's not like yeah, born in the USA.
Yeah, or rocking in the free world. Same thing.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the other thing. So while they were shooting the video for What Have I Done to Deserve This, photographer Cindy Palmano, so the cover of the album is interesting.
It's just the two of them.
It's just the two of them, but the way one guy is...
Yawning or something.
Yawning, and the other one is sort of scowling at the camera.
Or he looks at least pretty serious looking.
Pretty serious, yeah. While they were shooting the video for What Have I Done to Deserve This, photographer Cindy Palmano was commissioned to take photographs of them for a Smash Hits cover. Smash Hits is a British music magazine. She placed them in front of a waist-high piece of reflective material, reflective metal with a similar sheet behind them. The photo where Tennant is yawning and Lowe is scowling was the favorite, and Smash Hits were keen to use it for the front cover. Eric Watson then took some photos, but it was thought these weren't strong enough for the album cover, so they were used for the inner sleeve. The group then decided that Palmano's photo was the best choice. The issue of Smash Hits was due to go to press the following day. They persuaded the magazine to release Palmano's photographs and agreed to do a hastily arranged photo session for them. So this was just sort of a one-off photo for a not that serious, like sort of a fluff piece for a music magazine, weekly music magazine. And it ended up being this is apparently the iconic image of the Pet Shop Boys because it sort of captures their personalities. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's a good actually it works as the cover too and everything, and it's just again it's not too serious, but it's oddly enough just it's of its time too, because you know even the Eurythmics and other things where the album cover would just be like the two of them or something like that. Sometimes they're like positioned a little differently, but this one I don't know. It's of that, but again, it puts their personalities into it, and it's.
And I like that they're both in tuxedos, so yeah, it's pretty cool. And yeah, it's minimalistic, but yeah. It just works eye-catching. Really well. Yeah, eye catching, exactly. So that was pretty much everything that I found on. On the album. So I guess we'll get into the second side, but before we do that, let's hear from our friends over at the worst podcast on Mars. So check those guys out.
I'm Amanda, and that's Evan. Say hi, Evan.
Hi, Evan.
And we're the hosts of The Worst Podcast on Mars. This is the podcast that talks music. And on Fridays, we work our way through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's list of 200 definitive albums. I do a bunch of research trying to figure out why it's on this list. And on Tuesdays, we do smaller episodes that are not part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's list. And Evan, well, he just literally shows up. So if that's what you're into, please find us on Apple Music or Spotify.
But not Mars. Yet.
We'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you. Here's side two.
All right, and ending the album with King's Cross. I the second half of the album was pretty good as well. A little more cinematic with the songs on the second half. Like the song was it It's a Sin? It's a Sin or I Want to Wake Up. Almost sounded like a James Bond sort of theme.
Okay.
In a way. One of the songs in the second half, I can't remember exactly which one. I thought, whoa, this could be like a James Bond theme. It had that sort of sound that a lot of James Bond themes have. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty solid album throughout the whole thing. I mean, I don't have much criticism for it. I mean, it's well produced. It's very clean, which you get with, you know, the electronic,
yeah,
sort of music, which is fine. I don't think there's a whole lot negative I have to say. Surprisingly, a whole lot, not much negative to say about it.
No, this is a very well put together album. So,
yeah, it really was, and you know, these guys, they're still going. They're still, like, they just put out an album last year. So they've had a pretty long career, and, you know, they're still around. I mean, and they're like in their 60s now, and you know, they're still going. I mean, I knew of the Pet Shop Boys vaguely before. I'd never really listened to an album of theirs before. I knew some songs from, like, just, you know, radio and just, you know, being out in the world. I'm pleasantly surprised with this one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect, and came back just really good pop songs, and just a well put together album. I suppose if I were to have to pick three songs that I would really like, I really liked One More Chance, and I think I mentioned that. And then I might go with Hit Music, probably, and I Want to Wake Up, probably. I think those are my three.
Those are really, really solid choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would probably go with One More Chance as well. I'd probably go It Could Happen Here.
Oh yeah.
And King's Cross. I like the closing track.
Yeah, the closing track was it's a good closing track.
Yeah. One thing I did want to mention, sort of the situation with Dusty Springfield. Nothing bad, but it's kind of cool that she's apparently a really nice person, and they really wanted her to sing on that song. There's kind of a funny story behind it, of the day that they recorded. Tennant recalls the recording session with Springfield. She arrived at the studio on time in a black leather designer jacket and high-heeled boots with blonde hair and black eye makeup, clutching the lyric sheet of the song, annotated and underlined. Chris Lowe, Stephen Haig, and I began to consult with the legend about how to sing our song, and she was very nice, surprisingly a little lacking in self-confidence. As if by telepathy, a Dusty fan appeared on the studio doorstep and was invited in to listen. Dusty's English secretary arrived bearing a new compilation cassette. They keep repackaging the old songs, the legend marveled. Then she went through to sing. And they were really impressed with her voice. Like, she was very professional. And it's kind of says a lot about her character that she, you know, this young band, you know, wanted her to sing on their song. So it's, you know, I just thought that was kind of cool that.
And it worked really well. I mean, her stuff always sounds a little bit more folky to me, but her voice lent itself really, really well to this. So, yeah, I was impressed.
It really did, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting that, you know, that she was very, you know, warm to working with these guys. So yeah, I guess that brings us to the closing question is, would you listen to this album again?
I probably would. If it came on again, I'd, or if I saw it in someone's collection. I go, oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I'd probably do that.
Yeah, yeah, I would too. Yeah, the same thing as, you know, if this was, I'm, you know, I might put it on, you know, just, it's a, I think it's a good album to go for a walk and put on headphones and go for a walk with. It's, I kind of get that feeling. It's sort of, yeah, I think I would definitely listen to it again. But so I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. If you did enjoy the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And we'd love for you if to leave us a rating and a review, as it really helps us get new listeners. And if you want to support the show, you can do that by going to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. You can get some cool stuff there, like... you can get these albums a day before they go live, and you can even pick out an album for us to review. And you can also check out the website. Go to polyphonicpress.com. You can get all the episodes there, and lots of cool and more info on the show and everything like that. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.